Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. This is the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. And we have got a lot of different stories to get into. We hope you had a fantastic Labor Day weekend. Encourage you to go download the podcast. You can search out my name. Show is so popular now, Buck. You type in Clay, you type in Buck on any of the podcast universes, and immediately the show pops up. So if anybody else named Clay or Buck has a show, we have surpassed them at the minimum in terms of search requirements. But in all seriousness, we appreciate all of you out there, all 50 states, all of our affiliate stations as well. And I want to get into this Rolling Stone ivermectin 100% lie and how it exposes the hypocrisy of big tech. But I want to hit you with a data point that I think is significant that is not being discussed anywhere. Joe Biden ran his entire campaign on the idea that he was going to fix COVID. He hid in the basement. He wore the oversized mask. He used it as a cudgel to attack Donald Trump all the time. The idea that Trump was not taking COVID seriously enough, the idea that Trump had mismanaged COVID, all of that was the underlying theme and justification alongside of normalcy that Joe Biden based his entire presidential campaign upon. We are now coming up on the fall, now that we have passed Labor Day, and you can look at the data from last fall, a year ago, when Joe Biden was making this argument all through Labor Day in September. Did you know, Buck Sexton, that right now, today, as we speak, there are twice as many people hospitalized with COVID as on Labor Day last year when Joe Biden was saying that President Trump was doing an awful job of handling COVID? He owns COVID now. And this failure, which would, honestly, if Trump were still in office, that hospitalization data would be being used as continued failure of the Trump administration. Yet I bet a huge percentage of our audience right now that's listening to us has no idea that compared to last Labor Day, we have twice as many people hospitalized right now with COVID as we did last year.
And how could that be, as we know the dominant lib journo media narrative is day in and day out? How could the current surge, not just in cases, but hospitalizations, be the fault of the unvaccinated, and it exceeds where we were a year ago, remember? Right?
When everyone was unvaccinated.
When everybody was unvaccinated a year ago.
It's a great point.
So how is it possible to blame those who have not been vaccinated when it's worse somehow now with hospitalizations than it was a year ago when it was not possible to even be vaccinated? There is obviously something else going on here, Clay, which is why the questions about how does this end? What does that look like? What do we have to do? How long do these vaccines really last? How well do they really work? That's, if we had an honest, not just journalistic, but scientific community in this country, people are still so terrified. We both know personally doctors who think that what's going on with Fauciism is madness, but they don't want to abandon all their patients and their career by being booted out of their hospital and having their license suspended for questioning Fauci. I mean, this is like the flat eartherism of our current moment, actually. It's not people that are skeptical of vaccines. It's people who won't allow there to be questions about vaccines.
And what I would say, too, Buck, I think you hit on it well there with the flat earthism. We've talked about the heliocentric versus geocentric theories. Take people all the way back to, like, sixth grade science. But the essence of this, and why it should be so offensive to everyone out there, regardless of your political beliefs, is science is about rigorously questioning conventional wisdom. That's how we get to legitimate ideas and new hypotheses and theories which govern our existence. And yet, if you point out, wait a minute, Israel right now is starting to discuss a fourth different COVID shot. They have already given everybody a third COVID vaccine. They are now talking about a fourth. Israeli data reflects that the number of people who are testing positive for COVID continues to skyrocket in that country. And if you ask, wait a minute, is this really a vaccine? Is it a therapeutic? How is it that we, with all 75%, Buck, of people 18 and up in this country have received at least one COVID vaccine shot? How is it that we have twice as many people hospitalized for COVID this year as we did at the exact same time last year when no one had the opportunity to be vaccinated yet?
How is it the Biden administration gets away day in and day out with not addressing this in any way other than just to say we need everyone to get vaccinated? Well, clearly that does not end this thing.
That's right.
Because you have a lot of people who are vaccinated who are still getting COVID. And I know that they say, oh, it protects from severe disease. Okay, how long does it protect? If the vaccine wanes in effectiveness, right, the assumption here could be, all right, maybe you have enough antibodies that you're more likely than not going to survive. But does that also, remember, originally it was you're basically not going to get COVID. Rochelle Walensky of the CDC, the director, said, you don't get it, you don't spread it, yep, get the vaccine. Right. That was the pitch. Now you definitely can get it, right? I mean, maybe it's a little less likely.
You can still get hospitalized with it. I mean, there's still, it's not as if your chances of ever dying of COVID go away when you get this vaccine. You can still die of COVID.
And we're looking now at a situation where I think, Clay, they don't want to do the real analysis. They don't want to actually look at natural immunity because we could be heading toward a point where it's just everyone's basically going to get COVID.
That's right.
And the way that this actually not goes away entirely but gets under control is when enough people have natural immunity, more so even than vaccinated immunity. Now, I'm not saying we're there yet, but that's clearly in the background here. And when you're talking about getting a third, fourth shot, now all the questions about, all right, well, what are the side effects and what percentage of people have them and how much is too much and what does it do? I mean, as a simple function of math, if 1 in 100,000 people have a really bad reaction to a shot, if everyone has to get it every year, that, you know, the math starts to add up very quickly to what's really the benefit of this, especially if it starts to the protection of it goes away very quickly. But then there's also, speaking of the science, Clay, I know we talked this a little beforehand, the piece in The Intercept, new details emerge about coronavirus research at a Chinese lab. This was in The Intercept, more than 900 pages of material related to U.S.-funded coronavirus research in China released following a FOIA lawsuit. Clay, Fauci lied. They did fund and knew they were funding gain of function, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We're in a position where the people who have been in charge of our response and wrong the whole time when it comes to COVID also funded the creation of COVID. That's
and
where we
lied about it. Yeah, we are in a spot right now, Buck, where our American tax dollars paid for gain-of-function research, which helped to allow the creation of this virus. I mean, again, I think you and I both, Buck, based on the evidence, would say the most likely outcome from our opinion is that this thing leaked out of a lab, right? That it didn't, like, get spread zoonotically through through one animal giving it to a human through the wet market or anything else. Based on the Chinese response, based on all the evidence, it seems highly probable to me. Don't know 100% because we don't have that smoking gun. I don't think we ever will. Seems highly probable that this came out of a lab, and it came out of a lab that was partially funded to be doing the research that it was into coronaviruses based on American tax dollars, and that the people who have led our response inside of the government were directly involved in helping to ensure that this this virus ever existed, helped to cover up the fact that they were involved, criticized anyone who suggested they could be involved, and have consistently lied to the American public ever since this discussion began, including under oath to Congress.
One of the grants from this Intercept piece, this is a quote, titled, "Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence," outlines an ambitious effort led by EcoHealth Alliance President Peter Daszak to screen thousands of bat samples for novel coronaviruses. The research also involves screening people who work with live animals. The documents contain several critical details about the research in Wuhan. including the fact that the key experimental work with humanized mice was conducted at a biosafety level 3 lab at the Wuhan University Center for Animal Experiment, not the Wuhan Institute of Virology, as was assumed. The documents raise additional questions about all this, including, Clay, how concerned they were about the possibility of, you know, the bats biting or otherwise spreading the virus that they were injecting them with and playing with into a human, because then you'd have a super coronavirus in a human being.
I mean, think about all the things that have to not be true in order for this to be a coincidence. Let's presume that it arose organically and naturally. You're telling me that it happened in all the world where this could have occurred, right next to the Wuhan virology lab and right next to this other lab where they're doing gain of function research on these bats. It happened organically of everywhere it could happen in China, by the way. Buck, remember, the bats that they were testing are not endemic. In other words, they're not located in Wuhan naturally. They brought all these bats in. And you're telling me that it just coincidentally, of anywhere in the world that this virus could have emerged, they're doing high-level gain-of-function research on bats, and they're doing high-level virology gain-of-function research, two different laboratories, which are basically located right by the food mart. And you're telling me that of all the places in the world where COVID could have originated, it just happened to originate right beside those two laboratories, and it's not connected?
Well, this has been the theory for a year, and if you said this a year ago, or when we were saying this over a year ago now, really going on more like almost, 18 months, you were a conspiracy theorist.
That's
who
right.
was against the science and unwilling to deal in fact, and Facebook would shut you down, and Twitter would ban you, and all the rest of it, and there's no humility, no sense of overreach. Maybe we should scale it back from the same people that insisted that this was a crazy conspiracy theory then. Somehow they're the people that are now telling you, get that third, get that fourth shot. Shut up, peasant. Don't ask any questions.
The way I think about it, Buck, is if we were standing in front of a jury and there were just 12 reasonably intelligent American jurors, and one group had to argue, hey, you know what? It just naturally evolved from an animal, and somewhere at the food market, one person got it and it spread there. And the other person said, hey, they were conducting gain of function, high level research in this laboratory right by the food market on viruses and on the bat where we know the COVID virus came from. What do you think the jury would side with? Right?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Not too hard.
Pretty obvious. Pain sufferers wonder every day, what will it take to make the suffering go away? There is one remedy or another, all recommended by family or friends. John in California heard about Relief Factor, our sponsor here, and he started taking it. After taking it twice a day for 3 days, he was feeling relief. The more days in, the better off he was. Using Relief Factor's quick start program, he had nothing to lose and everything to gain, and what he gained was a pain-free day. Like my dad will tell you, or Clay's wife will tell you, Relief Factor really works. Of 100 persons who try it, nearly 70 go on, Clay, to order more Relief Factor.
Yep, and it's drug-free, addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain made by doctors based on scientific research. It helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, everyday living, goes right to the source of the inflammation, which is why hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and as Buck just said, 70% of them go on to order more. You can join the more than 500,000 people that have already done so and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, the 1995 3-week quick start just for you at relieffactor.com. You can call 800, the number 4, RELIEF, Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
To protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down. We're going to move to a situation where, to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated, then you're making the wrong choice. But yes, there's going to be a vaccinated economy, and you get to participate in that if you are vaccinated.
get vaccinated or you can't be in the economy. Something like that. That's what the guy in Australia is saying. Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Aussie accent's kind of funky. It's a tough one to do. This is what they're doing there, folks. I just think you should know that whereas a lot of us have been for a while here pointing to Australia saying, look at how crazy they are. I think that the CDC Democrat control apparatus of the Fauciites sees Australia and goes, wow, that's possible here too. We could do some of that stuff. I mean, Clay, just to give everyone a sense, new cases in Australia right now, they have these severe restrictions. Remember, it's an island, much lower population density, a lot going in its favor for COVID in the first place. New cases, 1,545 as of today. The previous peak was in August of 2020, 395 cases. So somehow, in the era of vaccination and extreme lockdown in Australia, they're having their worst COVID surge ever. Interesting.
And also, you're not allowed to hardly even talk about this either. Although Australia, despite what the left-wing lunatics in our country are saying, Australia's president, did you see this too, came out and basically said COVID zero isn't a real opportunity anymore. Like the idea of COVID zero made sense in a small way if you're an island nation, New Zealand, Australia, that completely can restrict travel into and out to of those countries, but only if you had a vaccine that was so effective it basically ended the COVID virus, like a smallpox vaccine would have back in the day, like we did with polio. That's not going to happen. And so now they're at least looking at the data and saying, we're broken. Our system of COVID zero can't work.
We're asking people, really, the fight here is, it's over freedom versus authoritarianism. It's also just over, people need to be reasonable. They need to stop being unreasonable and think that anything, no matter how minute or how intrusive or how absurd, is worth doing against COVID because anything that mitigates COVID in any way is inherently justified. Clay, it's just an unreasonable perspective, and that's what has unfortunately infected the minds of about half the world's population, maybe more than half the world's population at this point. It's really,
and they don't see the data, Buck. That's so what's frustrating to you.
I think they don't care, Clay. I think we could read them the data to their faces, and they would say, that's not what Fauci says, and just go right back into,
you hate grandmas.
Into the same nonsense. But we got another customer testimonial coming in about Rough Greens. This one from Diane H. in California. I have a problem with Rough Greens. I cannot keep up with this crazy dog. I want more, so tell me what to do. I'm so happy to see what Rough Greens has done for my dog, Blue. Thank you. Well, Rough Greens is a supplement that Diane obviously has been adding into her dog's food. We added into Tallulah, the Frenchie's food, in my family. She's got an extra pep in her step, and her stomach is much more settled than it used to be. Because, you know, Rough Greens is not a dog food. It's a supplement, a healthy supplement you put into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it, they have a special deal for you, our listeners. Just go to Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck, and they're going to give you the first bag free. You heard me right, free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. Live vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, all of it added right into your dog's food. It's amazing. Give it a shot. roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck.
Welcome back in. I'm Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We are rolling through the Tuesday edition of the program. And Buck, I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I got to get your reaction to this story as well. So Rolling Stone published a story that ivermectin was causing, the use of ivermectin, was causing an Oklahoma hospital to have to refuse service to people who were gunshot victims. That there were massive lines in the nursing home, in the emergency room. And that as a result of ivermectin, this hospital was basically having to shut down its emergency room because they were overflowed with ivermectin patients. Everyone jumps on board this report. It is ricocheting throughout Twitter. The Rachel Maddows of the world, literally Rachel Maddow herself, share this story. The usual suspects all shared. It's based on one doctor. Well, finally, somebody reaches out to the hospital itself. It turns out the doctor hadn't been at the hospital in a couple of months, and they had had no issues whatsoever with ivermectin of any degree. That means the story, the Rolling Stone story, Buck, was 100% fake news, to use a Trump phrase, and was not in any way based in factual legitimacy. It was 100% not true. Twitter do anything with it? Does anybody require that any of these tweets receive any kind of statement, as your and mine's tweets often do? Anytime we say, hey, you know, like, here's the latest data, it says click here for COVID, you know, vaccination information, Alex Berenson loses his ability to post on Twitter. Yet this story trends everywhere, and there are no consequences for the people who spread 100% fake news.
Two observations about this, Clay. I saw this story over the weekend as I was taking some vacation. Thank you for being at the helm yesterday so I could actually get a day off. One of them is that the people who run with this stuff don't care when it's fake, meaning that this is just like Russia collusion. This is the media environment we're in now. You show your side how much you hate the other side, and you take a cheap shot at them, and you are rewarded with more viewers, more money, more following. That's how left-wing corporate media works today. That's the situation. Look at Rachel Maddow, $30 million she's going to get paid under a new contract.
To not even work.
To not even really work. And after just lying about Russia collusion for 4 years to her audience, it didn't matter. The point was she was feeding the loony left what they wanted, and they loved her for it. And it's the same thing with this. Rolling Stone, they have no credibility to protect it. Rolling Stone, these journalistic enterprises aren't serious in being unbiased and about the facts. But there's another part of this that I found really bothersome. And you're seeing this all over the place now, too. Yeah, sure, they want to do this. They'll lie about it. They'll feel good lying about it. But, oh, look at these rubes. Look at these fools who probably voted for Trump, who are taking ivermectin and all this stuff. That's not even enough for them. They'll lie about it, and then they'll pile on top of that. They're a danger to you, crazy lib sitting at home with your three masks on while you're taking a shower, to you people sitting in, you know, Santa Monica or in Brooklyn who watch MSNBC. They're taking up all the hospital beds for the gunshot victims and the car accident victims. So it's not even enough to lie about them being dumb by saying there's all these overdoses happening. They lie about them being an actual menace to public safety, Clay, because that's really what the left-wing audience wants to hear now. It's not even, oh, these people who won't do what Fauci says are endangering themselves. No, it has to be they're endangering everybody, and they'll lie to make people think that.
And it is just wild to me. And I would think, Alex Berenson said, you know, he's figuring out his legal responses here. But to me, and again, this is me thinking about it from a legal perspective, if Twitter is going to argue that they are trying to apply editorial fact-checking functions to their service, this is a wildly arbitrary and capricious policy that you can point to this story. Because remember, there's a big difference. Like, you and I every single day share a variety of opinions. It's oftentimes very hard to prove that an opinion is wrong, because it's just that. It's an opinion as opposed to a fact, which you can prove whether or not a fact is wrong or right. This story that Rolling Stone published, the facts are lies. It is 100% not real. It's fake news, to use the Trump term. And yet, there's no requirement that Rachel Maddow take it down. There's no requirement that all these MSNBC employees, Buck, who otherwise are able to share stories. You know, for you and me and Alex Berenson and anybody who shares facts, like data out of Israel or data about the vaccine that makes people uncomfortable, we're not allowed to do that, but they're allowed to share a story that is 100% false.
You remember when people were supposed to be all freaked out? It's almost like, Clay, there are propaganda loops that we're all in here. Because as I'm seeing this, and to your point about how this is fake news, it's not only fake, It's obviously fake.
Demonstrably and provably false.
But even beyond that, though, when someone hears this, it doesn't ring true to any reasonable person. Really? The hospitals are, people are that dumb that there are thousands of them who are dying from, remember, they're not taking ivermectin and getting sick. They're overdosing on, it's one thing if you want to try a drug that's, off label, but is FDA cleared or something, right? I mean, this would be like saying, I think that Tylenol would be helpful for people that have, I had a lot of back pain from COVID for whatever reason. Okay, if I down a whole bottle of Tylenol, that's on me. That's not on, Bayer or whoever the manufacturers of Tylenol, right?
So also, ever been any hospital that isn't able to treat gunshot victims? Have you ever heard of somebody showing up at a hospital with a gunshot wound? They're like, hey, we can't get to you right now.
But it doesn't even sound plausible when they ran with it. It's not even just cherry picking facts or not looking at data. It's an obvious lie, but it was a delicious lie for the left. So they ran with it. It just reminds me of this back in the day when we had people talking about the potential benefits of hydroxychloroquine, right?
Yeah.
And then there was a version of, it was not hydroxychloroquine, something, it was like a different kind of chloroquine that is used to clean fish tanks. And there was this whole thing about someone took fish tank cleaner. And this was supposed to be blamed on. It's like, if you can't tell the difference between hydroxychloroquine and what's used to clean a fish tank, that's on you. But that also was a stupid lie. That wasn't a thing that was really happening. People weren't overdosing on, on chloroquine fish tank cleaner all over the country. But they keep doing this because it's essential to them, Clay, to believe that people who disagree with them are so dumb that they don't even have to be listened to or thought about.
I think that's exactly right. And also, it's like Mad Lib's version of a story. If a story perfectly fits your version of the world, it's kind of like the Jussie Smollett case, Buck, where it's like, that was so perfect. If it actually happened, it's like a fever dream of a left winger, right? Somebody in a MAGA hat chased down a gay black man with a noose in Chicago and said, hey, we're doing this to you because we're big Trump supporters. It's like, hey, wait a minute. Oklahoma, red state, ivermectin, dumb red state people, can't even treat gunshot victims. Like, when you see all the fact patterns lining up, and it would be like the fever dream of a political party to have it occur, your initial response, if you have a functional brain, should be skepticism. Right. That's just what it naturally should be, especially on the internet, where you have to question whether anything is true or false. Right?
I also think
so much fake falsehood out there.
I think at some level, too, people like Rachel Maddow, not only is it professionally beneficial to her. I mean, not like she really needs the money anymore, but, people, even rich people like money. Sometimes they like it a whole lot more than they should. But it benefits her professionally. But Clay, I also think there's some joy that the liberal elites get over promoting stories like this that are such a thumb in the eye to regular folks who don't buy into all the Fauci stuff. It's kind of like saying, yeah, this is what we think of you, that we'll run with a story that's so patently false, so obviously untrue, so vicious about how we think you're not smart, right? That's what they're really pushing. And I think they get a kind of sick joy out of it, honestly, because there's no way that Rachel Maddow didn't have a moment. And she's not the only one, but she's the most prominent one. Where it's like, are people really dying in large numbers from ODing over ivermectin?
Are they just refusing to treat gunshot victims because of it? I mean, just even take away the ivermectin and just be like, wait a minute. Are there really people showing up at emergency rooms and bleeding out because they can't get the doctors to them? I think that's probably unlikely.
We're not hearing from the families. We're not hearing from the police about it. We're not hearing anything from anybody involved except one random doctor who's never thought. But anyway, the dumber and more vicious the lie, the more a lot of Democrats take to it right away. We'll come back into this. Also, we got Afghanistan. Biden's State Department wants to take credit that is not due. And also wants to get in the way of things. Not a surprise here. We'll come back into it in a moment. But here's an open invitation to save $600 or more without having to sacrifice anything. $600 or more. In fact, it's likely an upgrade for you in every respect, and it's going to save you a whole lot of money. If you haven't started using Pure Talk cell service yet, and you're still with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, you're paying too much for the exact same thing. Pure Talk is on the exact same network, using the same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a lot less money. In fact, Pure Talk, Clay, saves the average family over $800 a year. Think about what you can do with an extra $800 to your bank account after a year.
I trust these guys because I've got my own son on their network. And right now he gets unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data. First phone he's ever had, iPhone 12 with the Pure Talk network. And he loves it. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month. Go over on the data. Guess what? They don't charge you, which I know matters for a lot of parents out there. How do you get Pure Talk? Get hooked up right now. Pull your phones in your hands. Listen to me carefully. Dial pound 250 and say Pure Talk. 50% off your first month, up to $800 a year for a family. Pound 250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Pound 250, Pure Talk, today.
Thanks for being here for the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, Clay, and I. Happy to be back with all of you. We honestly appreciated to have a little bit of time to rest, but missed doing this show and have a lot to get through with you today as we do every day. So we really appreciate it. Also want to remind you to please go to clayandbuck.com for news stories we're talking about here, more updates on the show. And you can check out the Clay and Buck podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, anytime. We've got Zuby joining us in a few minutes. A lot of you probably have not yet heard of Zuby, although he was on the Rogan podcast recently. I've interviewed him before. Just a really interesting thinker. He's from the UK. He's a rapper and a podcaster. Very pro-freedom, very anti-Fauciism. I want to talk to him both about what he's seen in the UK and also what he's in terms of COVID stuff and what he's seeing in this country. And Clay and I are just excited to talk to him. He's really building a conservative audience in America very quickly. So want to introduce him to all of you. Give him Clay, he just walked into the studio. He's here right now. So that's exciting. We'll get him on in a second. We also want to take some calls. We have not forgotten. Of course, I have many lines lit up. 800-282-2882 on those lines. Let's get to Lori in Colorado. Lori, you're on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to mention to you kind of an unusual situation I had as a COVID survivor. I had a sinus infection about a month ago. I'm a flight attendant. Sinus infections are very painful. And I went to an urgent care near my home, went in. Of course, they do the COVID test. Of course, it's negative. And the PA proceeds to lecture me on getting the vaccine. And I said, well, you know what? As soon as it's fully validated, confirmed, whatever, I'll consider it. But let's talk about my sinus infection. She, at the end of the conversation, she refused to give me a dose of amoxicillin. And I'm sitting here going, I can't believe this is happening. I'm in my 50s. I'm healthy. I'm only here because the pain is really bad now because we wear masks all the time on the airplane. And I just looked at her and I said, you know, I'm a flight attendant, right? I just need amoxicillin. Again, lecture. You need a vaccine. I said, this has nothing to do with my sinus infection. I just need amoxicillin. It's been approved for decades. Let's move on.
Right. So she wouldn't give you the care that you needed and wanted unless you got the vaccine. It was like a quid pro quo.
Exactly.
Crazy. What happened? What was the end result?
It was a pointless argument. I even talked about antibodies. It was pointless. Cited research. Anyway, I went home furious. I called Teladoc through my insurance carrier, and thankfully, that wonderful doctor, Matt, on the other end, I told him what happened, and he could not believe it. He said, which pharmacy? He immediately sent a prescription for me. He said, I have never heard of anybody doing that. I said, trust me. I have the name of the medical director. I'm writing a letter to them.
Thank you for calling in. This is the point we were making earlier, Buck, about the idea that we are going to tell doctors that they are such moral authorities, that they decide who and what they're going to treat people who are ill. is based on the morality of their illness. First of all, you can be a good person or a bad person and get COVID, right? Like, the virus isn't discriminating based on the overall health status necessarily or morality of anyone out there. You might just get exposed, right? And this idea that doctors should be making choices about who they treat, it's pure madness.
The medical profession
in this situation.
The medical profession has sort of gone the way of, dare I say, intelligence analysis after, you know, Iraq WMD and now the Afghanistan withdrawal debacle, where people realize it's very politicized. These are not gods. They make a lot of mistakes. And it's unfortunate because the one person I think, maybe, you know, you could argue, okay, maybe a prosecutor, you know, there's some roles in day-to-day life, hopefully you never have to deal with a prosecutor, where you really don't want there to be politicization. But I know that everyone wants to walk into a doctor's office and have it just be, this is a highly trained professional who's going to help you be as well and healthy and safe as possible. Not going to give you a lecture about Trump or ivermectin or whatever.
I think everybody with a functional brain agrees with that. And again, I would just say replace COVID with HIV if people were refusing treatment because of lifestyle choices. Oh, you didn't use a condom while you were having sex. Oh, you've ended up acquiring a virus that is based in some way on a decision that you made in your life. People would lose their minds, yet you insert COVID as the choice and people are applauding doctors like this who are effectively becoming social justice warrior advocates instead of just trying to treat everybody fairly.
Clay and I are going to bring you up to speed on the latest in Afghanistan, the ongoing efforts to get everybody out who is left behind by the Biden administration in the next hour. But first up in a couple of minutes, our friend Zuby, rapper, podcaster, interesting guy. He'll be with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.